John the Baptist. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost from the mother's womb. Now every child that's born is not filled with the Holy Ghost from the mother womb. But John the Baptist was. Because if you remember, on the day of Pentecost, John the Baptist was not there. And after Christ had been on the scene, that's what I told you, that's going to be the problem with the kingdom. And John the Baptist was on the scene, and he was beheaded. He was beheaded, and you listen at this, for telling the truth. So you got to get yourself together here for telling the truth. His head was cut off because he told Herod it was unlawful for Herod to have his sister-in-law. Herod had married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist told him that was unlawful. And Herodias, Solomon. She had a grudge against John the Baptist. Her daughter went out and danced before them. I think you'll find this in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, but you also in the book of Mark. It's the 14th chapter of Mark, but I know it's Matthew. She went out and danced before Herod, and all the other men had a birthday party, and she wanted to know because her father, because he had told her, "I'll give you up to half the kingdom." She went back, asked her mama, what should she ask for? She said, "John the Baptist head on the charge." Now, see how it's a dangerous thing for you to hold a grudge in you? All he had done, told her the truth. And she went back, and they had his head cut off, hair and head. But do you think John the Baptist going to be walking around in heaven with no head? See, that's why you need to know the word of God. You're going to get new bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to get new bodies. This mortal going to put on immortality. This corruption going to put on what? Incorruption. Yes, ma'am.
I work for Jehovah's Witness. I don't know what it is, Jehovah's Witness in here.
Go ahead.
They don't celebrate their birthday.
That's right.
Because they think, because John the Baptist here was beheaded. This is why they don't celebrate their birthday.
Look at that. Jesus. I don't know, but they don't celebrate any holidays.
No, they don't celebrate any holidays.
That's right. That's why they don't celebrate. She's telling us. Yeah, I got
right.
You. I got you.
They was telling my John the Baptist,
he
was cut off.
I got you.
They don't celebrate something.
I got you.
They don't celebrate.
I got you. Brother Crosby, people would take a lot of things and make a doctrine out of it.
That's right.
Oh, God. Folks, you better know. Right. Let me tell you, I told you that five spirit is running rampant. It's more than that, but I'm giving you five. The spirit of intimidation in the church. The spirit of manipulation. The spirit of domination. The spirit of indoctrination. And seducing spirits.
What's the last one?
Seducing.
Okay.
Folks, we have been bamboozled. The seducing spirits, Satan comes along, and there are spirits of seduction that's been strategically planted to distract you, to destroy you. And it comes with the spirit of intimidation. And it can either get you, praise God, through the spirit, like she just said, indoctrination. The word indoctrination has the base word doctrine, and doctrine is the Greek word for teaching. That's how they can get you, through the teaching. And if you don't study, you don't know the word of God, you can be seduced in and lured in. Well, anyway, I gave you what? Was that right? I gave you the chapter of 14 of Matthew. 14 and what? What did it say? Right. What did it say? I'm not making this up. Matthew chapter 14, talking about John the Baptist, Mother Kwaska, and the birthday party. 14 and what? What is it? 14 and 6. It is also in the book of Mark too. What chapter is it in Mark? So that's why it's important. You, if you take the two verses or the three, whichever it is, in the various passages and compare them to give you a greater understanding of Scripture. It's also in Mark as well. But we'll come back to that. But I just want to put that reference down. But when I tell you something, I like to give you a scripture reference. Okay? Thank you, Mother Cross. That's good. Good to know. So let's go to verse 11 again in the third chapter of Matthew. He said, I indeed, this is John the Baptist talking, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. This is John the Baptist. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you. Here it is. With what? And with what?
Fire.
I told you all your baptism was water. Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He'll fill you with his spirit. And fire, it burn off all of the impurity, all that shouldn't be there. So get ready. And then he said, whose fan is it in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Galilee unto Jordan was where the baptizer was. To be baptized of him. This is John the Baptist getting ready to baptize Jesus. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized by thee, and cometh thou to me? And then Jesus said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to do what? Fulfill all righteousness. And then he what? The word suffer means he allowed him. And then Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God had already validated who Jesus was. But I want you to see that he had already been baptized. So when we go back to Matthew chapter 20, it was not talking about water baptism. You just saw right in a few minutes through reading those passages that he was coming. He's going to baptize you with what? With the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and with what?
Fire.
With fire. So that's more than one baptism. You need to know that. There's a difference between the baptism. All right, let's go back now to Matthew chapter 20. So let's see what happened here. They already said, yeah, you know, we able. But he said unto him, said, you shall drink indeed of my cup. That's what he said. And you're going to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my what? And watch this now. Now this is what he's talking to. The two that wanted to sit, one on the right and one on the left. Now watch the 10. Because how many of them were there?
12.
Now watch the 10. Watch their reaction. Now this is that verse 24. Watch this. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. They were just ticked off. You got the audacity to go get your mama. Just ticked off. You got the audacity to go get your mama to get ahead of us, to get your seat. And they weren't happy about it. They was indignant. But look what Jesus said unto them. This is what Jesus said unto them. He called them unto him. He had a bunch to work with. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be what?
Servant.
Be your servant or be your minister, because the word servant means minister. You see that? I shared with someone, I don't know how long ago it was, but I was letting them know when it comes to love, the love the way the word of God tells us is you love the Lord, to love the Lord thy God, you love him with all you have, you know, your mind, your body, your spirit. But it said this, and love your neighbor. But what they were doing, they were talking about loving themselves.
Right.
But that's not God's order. Put the word joy on your paper, J-O-Y. But you can't do this outside the power of God. Because there are some people that you just And then that may be your enemy, but God can tell you what to do with your enemy. You know what God said, do with your enemy? He said, love him. Now, don't just say that because you think that's my enemy. That's what he'd say to me. He so said, you got to pray for him. Put them on your prayer list. You know, we said, I'm praying for, pray for your enemy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Let's go. You need to pray for yourself.
And you got to do it. Lord, help me. I need help, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me say this before I go to the next passage. Jesus is not asking you to do any more than he did.
Right.
How can you see him on the cross, stretched out, spat on, mocked and beaten, said, now prophesy unto us who did it, blindfolded. And on the cross, we all can say this, Father, do what?
Forgive them.
For what?
They know not what they do.
That was a prayer.
Yeah.
That was a prayer. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Kind of hard.
Yes, Lord.
That's what he said, do. Now, there's some people that come out against your side. The Lord said, pray for them.
Yes.
That's what he wants you to see. Let me tell you that. That's exactly what he wants you to see. That is difficult. Yes. It's hard. It's impossible.
Yes.
He wants you to see that.
Right.
So if he tells you to do something that's impossible, now the next question you want to ask, how do I do that, Lord?
Yes, that's right.
And then he going to tell you,
that's
you
right.
can't. Apart from me, you can do what?
Oh.
No. Apart from me, you can do what?
No.
You can't do nothing. There you go. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But with God, all things are. And Tracy, you turn your nose up, but you got to love it. That's what he turn your nose up. But let me tell you, Tracy, that's what he wants you to ask. Lord, how do you do this? And he gonna say, with men, it's what? Impossible. But with God, normal. All things are possible. Are y'all hearing me? So there are some people make it very difficult for you to even like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about love. Oh, praise God.
Sure.
Amen. Praise God. Let me go on. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want you to see they lack humility, and here they are talking about who gonna be the greatest, and when the mother got in on the act, the other 10 was moved with indignation against the two brothers. I could just hear them all the way going on to Jerusalem, looking and rolling their eyes. Did you? I mean, you know, just couldn't let it go. Just rolling their eyes. Just, so, you know, that's right. Can you believe it? I mean, you know, every time they would think about it. I mean, you know, he got the mommy, he got the mommy in him. I mean, he had a bunch to deal with. You know, oh God. I know, I thought we'd been like, you know.
You get some crazy looks. That thought we had.
Oh God, you think this something? You wait till we get to start talking about that Peter. Oh my goodness. That hot shot. He gonna tell Jesus, oh, they may leave you, I'll die for you. And he looked at him, oh my. He said, Peter, before the cock crow one time, you have denied me three times. But he knew his heart. See, that's what God looking at, your heart. Keep your heart right. For out of your heart flows the issues of life. Keep your heart right. Don't go to God with no shucking and jive. If you know you mess up, tell God, I'm going to mess up. But Lord, I thank you for straightening up. Hallelujah. Don't charge him foolishly. Glory to God. Don't charge him foolishly. Now let's go back. Amen. We go. What you say, honey?
Put you on the paper.
Put you on the paper. Good. This is your order of how you supposed to put people to get joy. You want joy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me give it to you. Put Jesus first. Pray God. You want it? Okay. The O stands for others. Okay. If you want joy, put Jesus first. And the O, put others next. And guess what the Y stands for?
Yes.
That's exactly right. If you want joy, that's his order.
Yes.
Amen. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And we're following after him for the joy of it. He did. Yeah. He put God first, and he was thinking about us. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12. But if you walk joy, that's what you have to do. So don't we need the Lord to help us to work with us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That's what happens when you hear God's word. It ought to have you saying ouch or amen and saying, work with me, Lord. Because we, listen, that's what we need. We got what it takes. We got what it takes. If you had a power of God, and if you don't have a power of God, you can get the power of God through asking him and repenting.
Yes.
Now, you're going to have to have it. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now, going to church don't get you to heaven.
Yes.
I hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah.
I hate to burst your bubble, but it won't get you to heaven.
That's right.
You've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You got to know him.
Yes.
That's how you're going to get in when God looks at you through the blood of Jesus. And listen, when you go and accept Christ and what he did and the sacrifice he made, it pleases God.
Amen.
Yeah. He don't want you crying when you're looking at, like, what's that, the Passion of Christ? And you crying because they beating up on him. He don't want you crying over that.
That's right.
It's a movie.
Crazy.
It's a movie that did happen. But that movie doesn't even give it justice what happened to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm show you something. Let me show you something. Go to Romans chapter 8. See if that's the one I'm looking for. I may have to come back. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Take me to your word, Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Good word. Yeah, 8 chapter 1. This is the chapter that God gave me interpretation of my what I was saying, honey. And I spoke. Huh? Oh, yeah, I cried out my father. But I want you to see in Romans, the 8th chapter here. I want you to see that scripture that it pleased God. And by the way, I'm going to show you here that you have to have the Spirit of God or you're none of his. That's what he said. Let's see where that is in here. That may be 10. No. Oh no, if you come down, I want to just show you something here. Well, I can read. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation, verse 1, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh goodness. But what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, what happened? He condemned sin where? In the flesh. Now you got to hear this with Jesus. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?
Yeah.
Big S. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, draw a line under that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about that. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? So if you draw a line out of that, because that's going to take us to tonight's lesson. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot do what? I'm going to draw a line out of that. If you're in your flesh, and I'm going to show you what it means to be in the flesh in a minute. You want to see that? So you in the flesh, you can't what? You can't please God. I don't care what you're doing. You can't please God in your flesh. Let's go to verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be, watch what he said. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's what? You're not his. He said, and this is what he said. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Wow, this is good. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to this flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall what?
Die.
You're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill, destroy, the deeds of the body, you shall do what?
Live.
You shall live. But as many as are led by the Spirit, what about them?
They are
the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then you're heirs. Watch this. Heirs of God and joint heirs with whom?
Christ.
With Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, come on, that we may be also what? Yes. You can't get away from suffering if you're a child of God.
Right.
Now you can orchestrate and you can try to make things happen. In fact, I had someone that called me today and they would tell me about someone and what they were going through, and I was trying to study, and I went in no place for no food today. So I just said, let me tell you something. When God give you an opportunity, you need to stop trying to keep yourself from going through, because you're going to go through something.
Yes, right.
You know, so you can call me, anybody you want to, but you're going to go through something.
Yeah.
I said, because you have been put in a strategic place as a child of God, and the enemy comes along, and that time he accused us before God.
Amen.
He will say this, let me at her.
Mm-hmm.
She not serve you for nothing.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Let me. There's six areas he'll come at you in. Six areas he hadn't changed. But listen, huh? Six areas he'll come. I'm talking about the enemy. He'll attack you in. I've shared this with you before. He'll attack you in these six areas. But you got to remember the three ways he does it: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the whatever. Pride of life. That's his M.O. That's where you operate. But he'll attack you when he comes to your family, your finances, your faith, your flesh, when it comes to your
friends.
Talk to me. And you got it. Those six areas. But God comes along and he delivers with a promise. He said, fear not. All of those begin with an F. Fret not. Forsake not. Faint not. What else? Let your faith
fail
not. See, you supposed to have this. Mm-hmm. You supposed to have it, Joe. You supposed to have it, Marvin. Dorothy. Come on.
Fail.
Tracy. These are principal, Sonia, you got to put in you, because he's coming after you.
Yes.
You got to start recognizing that this is the enemy.
Right.
This is the enemy. He wants to test my faith. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get me off course.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He wanted to get me distracted.
Oh, yep, he does.
Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory.
Come on.
You already got victory in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You just don't forget that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. Let me show you this. He said, for this is now around verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. You're going through. But the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Listen, folks. When Adam sinned, all creation was put under the curse. All creation. Thorns and thistles start growing up when Adam sinned. And now that we are the children of God, we need to recognize that we have this liberty that God has given us, because the liberty that we have came by Christ dying at Calvary. He gave us liberty. In other words, we're no longer in bondage. We're no longer in bondage. And the enemy want to keep us in bondage. But you're not in bondage anymore. You've been free. Free. Watch this. Free. By the knowledge that you have and the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. I just told you when we started, he died. He was crucified. But he was what?
Raised.
He was raised up. And so are we. Let me tell you something. You're already in heaven if you're a child of God.
Amen.
Let me put it like this. How many ever traveled? Keep your head up. How many put reservations in the hotel or wherever you travel? Okay. All right, put your hand down. If you got a reservation, all you got to do is what?
Sure.
Y'all ain't hearing me. Your reservation is already on the book. You go there, but what you got to do is this. You got to identify yourself when you get there. You got to show them that you're who you are. Oh, yeah, I got a room for you, Ms. Davis. Come on in. Dr. David, they put me. Y'all already got a reservation in heaven. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all ready? And listen. Oh, y'all gonna make me teach real hard. And listen. You got this reservation. That let's say you've been booked at the Embassy Suite. I'm not gonna put you in one of them trunk. Embassy Suite. And you're driving there. And on your way there, you already called in, so they got your name. They said, well, we just need, and that's what they tell you, we need some type of credit card.
Yeah.
So you're driving there, Mother Krosky.
Yeah.
And while you're going there, it starts raining.
Yeah.
And then you run on through the rain, and then the wind starts blowing. And you get through the wind, and you run into a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And then you run into a traffic jam.
Yeah.
And then they saying something about they got an accident ahead. So they're going to have to send you another way.
Right.
Another detour.
Yeah.
Now you had a straight shot.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this started happening between the time you left and where you going.
Right.
But after a while, the storm passed. And you look over there and you see, well, I'm still on the right road. I'm still on I-75.
Yeah.
I'm on I-75, Marvin. All you got to do is take the detour. Amen. And they make it easy for you now because they got, and sometimes it's easy. Now they got them GPS, and sometimes it's easy. Sometimes they take you the long way.
Yeah.
But the point is this. With the GPS, you put in from where you are to where you're going, and it may take you the wrong way, but it'll get you there eventually.
Yeah.
So here you are going through all of this, the storm and the rain and the hail, and you got to be detoured and all of this. But when you get through, going through all of that, and you get where you're going, your reservation already there.
Yeah.
All you got to do is show up and identify who you are, because you're not going to slip in heaven.
Right.
You listen, your name gonna be on the roll. Your name is gonna be on the roll.
Right.
You just got to show up. So what I'm saying to you right now, you're going through something now, and there might be some detours and some storms, and you're going through some wind and hell and all of that. But if you stay on course and stay, praise God, on this road. The narrow way.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about that. Stay on the narrow way. A lot of folks on the broad way. Stay on the narrow way where there are few people. The broad way got a big crowd.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
The broad way lead to death. But the narrow way going to lead to life. Stay on it and get there. Because your name is already there before you get there.
Yeah.
Your name is already there. Your name been written. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. Let me go back and finish Roman, then I want to take you somewhere. So he says this, for we know that the creation groaneth. That's verse 22. The whole creation is groaning. Got it? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves, we groan. Look at that. Creation groaning. And we groan. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's why Jesus called the blessed what?
Hope.
Hope. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit does what? He maketh intercession for us with groaning, there's another groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we know that all things, what?
Work together.
All them storms that we went through, they work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? His purpose. But whom he did foreknow, what happened? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of what? Among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And by the way, all this is past tense. It's already been done. Look at verse 30. You got called, you got justified, you got justified, and you got what else?
Glorified.
Past tense. So what shall we say then to these things? That's what he's saying. If God be for us, then who can be against us? This is what I want you to see. Watch this. I think we learned verse 28 by heart, but this is what I took you there to show you. He that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for what? Us all. How shall he not with him also, there it is again, freely do what? Think about that for a minute and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
He delivered Jesus up for us.
Yes, he did.
That we may, this is what he's saying, that we may, talk about us, read again, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh what? Now, I don't know whether you saw this, but I want you to see something. Christ is making what for us? Now go back. Go back to verse 26. And tell me who else is making intercession. Okay, now more than Mother Cross and Marvin ought to know this. Now listen. Intercession means somebody's praying for you. Who's praying for you?
Christ.
The Spirit and who else?
Christ.
And Christ. Now, do you not know that God answered Christ's prayer?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
So if Christ is praying for you, wouldn't you want Christ to pray for you?
Yes.
If anybody can get a prayer through, guess who?
Christ can.
Christ can. I'm trying to listen. Christ is praying for you. Somebody ought to be thanking God.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God, let me tell you about the Spirit of God. He always knows the mind of God.
Come on.
So he can also pray for you because he knows the mind of God concerning you.
Amen.
But Christ is praying for us.
Yeah.
He's making intercession for us. So now to thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I'm closing now because he asked this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So he started naming things. Shall tribulation? What's the answer?
No.
What about distress?
No.
Persecution?
No.
What about shortage of food and famine?
No.
What about if you're naked?
No.
Danger?
No.
The sword?
No.
It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that what? Loved us. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, that's mean them demons, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to do what?
Separate
us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing.
Amen.
You ought to get a hold of that. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. What time? Give me time because I got to take you through this right quick. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. I tell you what I want you to do. We're already here. I know you got to go to work tomorrow. Give me to 8:30. I got to give you this. Because I don't know who may not be here the next time. Write on your paper somewhere. Put down peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Put down peace. You got to have this. I want to ask you a question. Okay? Now, we get more than you some time ago and said for 4 or 5 hours. So you're getting something. So just give me a few minutes tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want everybody to yell out. But I want to show you something. The script I'm going to give you tonight, excuse me, you got to put it in your spirit. You got to remember this. How many want peace?
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. If you don't want to, keep your hand down. You want this? First thing we'll give you, I want you to put this word out. The word is shalom. S-H-A-L-O-M. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. So if I say to you, shalom, shalom.
Peace.
Okay, peace, peace. But let me tell you what that means. I am speaking peace on the outside of you and peace on the inside. So I'm saying shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, Donald. What am I saying?
Peace on the outside
and peace on the inside. Because you may have peace on the outside and not having peace on the inside. Can't sleep at night. Wrestling, turmoil. My God, in your mind, battling, fighting, wrestling, fighting your pillows. Just can't rest. Now let me ask you something else. When you say peace, what do you usually say you want with peace?
Peace of mind.
Somebody say it over here.
Joy.
Joy, yeah, but what you do is say, I want some peace and quietness, don't you? Let me tell you the answer, peace and quietness. You can get peace and joy, that's good. But two things I want to show you tonight. And I'll come back next week if the Lord's will. And show you something else. I want to show you why living right brings you peace.
Yes.
Show what the Bible said, not me. In Isaiah chapter 26, you can just write this down, 26:3. He said, he'll keep you in perfect peace.
Yes.
If your mind stayed on him.
Yes.
He said, because you trust me.
Yes.
See, that's what it said. You got to see, we don't always go all the way to the end of it.
Right.
Because you trust me.
Yes.
Okay. And that's important. You want peace and you want quietness.
Yes.
Let me show you what the Word of God said about peace and quiet. And by the way, peace is not just something. Peace is someone.
Amen.
So you want to put that down. Peace is a person. If you want peace, you get peace through having Jesus, accepting Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he's called the Prince of Peace. In Ephesians, he's talked of as being our peace. So Jesus is our peace. But go to Isaiah chapter 33. Now, I want you to learn this scripture by heart. I'm going to give you Isaiah 33. Isaiah 32. Let me show you how important righteousness is when it comes to peace. I'm going to show you the work of righteousness, and I want to show you the effect of righteousness. Okay? Isaiah 32, verse 17. You got. I'll let you go home now. So you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I want you to read that 17th verse and tell me what is the work of righteousness and tell me what is the effect of righteousness. Now don't yell it out. You find it. Put it on your paper. I'm going to ask you for an answer. What is the work of righteousness? When you do right, what you get as a result of working? And what is the effect of it?
You want us to write it down?
Write on your paper. Well, I want you to write it. Because you already gave me the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You said, I want some peace and some what?
Quiet.
I want to show you how you get it through the word of God. Hallelujah. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's some good stuff here.
Yes, it is.
All right. Who can tell me, what does the work of righteousness give you? All right, Donald, I got to see some new hands up in here. All right, Lord, I see your hand. My beautiful child, I need to know, what does the work of righteousness get you? If you do what's right, if you work at doing what's right, what is it going to result in you having?
Assurance.
If you work at righteousness, what are you going to get?
Quietness and happiness.
No, not yet. Mm-mm. Look at your book. Look at your book.
You said chapter 33.
32. 32, 17. Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying again. If you say, I'm trying to do what's right. If you keep doing what's right, I want you to see what it's going to result in.
Sure.
Keep doing what's right.
Peace.
You're getting there. Let's see. You're getting there. So let's look at what it's saying. Maybe I'm not asking you right. When you do what's right, when you work what's right, and what you're doing is right, the work of righteousness is going to be what?
Right.
Peace.
No? I got to hear the same answer. The work of righteousness is going to be what?
Peace.
That's what I want to hear. When you do what's right, when you're working at doing what's right, you're going to get what?
Peace.
And the effect of your righteousness is going to give you what?
Right.
You got it. You got it. You got it. The work of righteousness is what?
Peace.
And the effect of doing right is going to be what?
Quietness
and
confidence.
Which is assurance. How long?
Forever.
So the next time you say, I want some peace and quietness, stop and ask yourself what I got to do to get it. Work. If I work of righteousness is peace. The effect is what?
Quietness.
Of righteousness is what?
Quietness
and assurance.
Forever.
May not seem like it now, but I declare if you keep doing it, you keep planting these seeds. Keep planting these seeds of righteousness. And get ready, because that's where your peace come in. It's it. Your peace.
Amen.
Doing what's right give you peace.
Amen.
The effect of it give you what?
Quietness.
Quietness and assurance. I'm not kidding. I'm just giving you. It's the truth. When you do what's right, there's a peace that come upon you. And a quietness in your spirit.
Yes. Assurance that I'm doing
that you're going to do what's right and it lasts forever.
Amen.
God is good. I'm gonna let you go, but I just got so much here that I want to share with you. I just want to share with you, but we'll stop right now. But I just want you to know this: three things. You need the peace of God. You need peace from God, and you need peace with God.
Yes.
Now listen to this: you need the peace of God. And you need to have peace with God.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't you be in confrontation with God. You need the peace of God. And you need to have peace with God. And you need peace from God. But you also need to know that the work of righteousness is what?
Peace.
and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance.
Yeah.
That's good. That's real good. That's real good. I'm gonna stop here. We'll go back the next time. Yes, baby.